I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. We are resurrection people. You will hear me say this on Easter, and maybe you've heard it before. Michael Curry, our presiding bishop, often says this. We are resurrection people. We are people of the resurrection. We live in a world where our Savior was risen from the dead, and we found an empty tomb on a Sunday morning. It is absolutely critical and crucial and the foundation of our faith that the resurrection happened. But as much as we are resurrection people, we are also Good Friday people. We are people of a cross, of a death, of trauma, of darkness, and suffering. And that part we don't like to talk about. We like to live in the resurrection because it's quite frankly easier. And I also like to live in the resurrection because I like the joy. Of course I like the resurrection more than Good Friday, because by the time we get to the resurrection, all the trauma has passed and there's only joy and happiness. But in order for us to get to the joy and happiness, we have to have Good Friday. In our gospel reading from today, we have the first of several apocalyptical texts that we're going to hear between now and Christmas morning. And this is in Mark's gospel. An apocalyptical, in the strictest sense of the word, means an unveiling of something that wasn't previously known. And the way that Mark's apocalyptical text here goes is that it talks about what is to happen in the world when the temple will be destroyed. But the setting of this reading is really important to know in the greater context of Mark's gospel. This reading comes directly after the story of the widow's mite, which I hear you heard last week. The story of the woman who comes to the temple and Jesus is watching all the people put their money into the treasury. And the woman comes forward with her two mites, or her two pennies, basically nothing. And she puts the two pennies into the treasury. And Jesus says to his disciples, "This woman has given more than everyone else combined, because she has given all that she has to live on." And then Jesus exits the temple, which is the first line of our gospel reading today. The widow's mite has just happened. Jesus exits the temple, and then he gives this apocalyptical prophecy of what will happen to the temple. It will be destroyed. And then he continues to say there will be nation will rise against nation, and there will be famines and earthquakes. There will be wars and rumors of wars. And then the story continues. If we were to read further into Mark's gospel, he tells the disciples what will happen to them. He says, "And you. You will be arrested, you will be beaten, you will be put to death, all because of my name." We tend to leave that half out because it's a lot harder to hear than the first half, which is also arguably tough to hear. But the point of the reading is that Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is to come. And ironically, in our gospel reading, Jesus says, all of these awful things will happen, but do not be alarmed. It's almost as if Jesus is setting us up for failure, because he told us very alarming things. And says, but don't be alarmed about it. It's just the beginning of the birth pangs. And any woman who has gone through birth will tell you the beginning of the birth pangs is not a place you want to be. And if you've ever been around a woman giving birth, it's not a place you want to hang out. And yet women who go through labor will tell you that it was worth it. All of the pain of the birth, all of the pain of the labor was worth it because they had a baby in the end. Women will put themselves through excruciating pain because there is a baby at the end. They hold on to this hope of what is coming is better than the pain that they are feeling now. And many women get some sort of amnesia after that and do this more than one time. But Jesus tells us it's the beginning of the birth pang. And birth pangs for women, they will admit that it is painful, but they will also say it was worth it. It's almost as if Jesus is saying the pain and suffering that you feel now will be worth what is coming. That's a lot harder to grasp, because at the end of this, we don't get a cute little baby. We get the kingdom of God. And that's a lot harder to understand because it's something that we can't grasp. We can't hold on to it. We're holding on to the hope of the kingdom of God. One of the best books that I read in seminary was called Spirit and Trauma. It's by Shelley Rambo. And it talks about trauma in a sense of how Christians interact with trauma. And there is a whole psychological understanding of how trauma happens, with the stages of grief and acceptance and all of the ways that people move through trauma. But Shelley Rambo in her book said that for Christians, trauma is rated into three categories. The first is a Good Friday moment. There is a specific thing that causes trauma. There is a death, there is an accident, there is something traumatic that has happened. There is a singular event that you can point to, like Good Friday, the singular event was Jesus' death. There is a singular event that leads to trauma. Then there's Holy Saturday. And Holy Saturday is something that we very rarely talk about in the church. And for the most part, we skip over it. Very few churches actually have a Holy Saturday liturgy, because by the time we get to Holy Saturday, your clergy are tired. We have done Monday, Thursday, we've done multiple Good Friday services, we still have Great Easter Vigil, and we still have Easter Sunday, and Holy Saturday service is about 5 minutes long, and it just is tiring. And so most churches don't actually have a Holy Saturday liturgy, but there is one in your Book of Common Prayer. And Holy Saturday is the day of darkness. It is the day of grief. It is the day of mourning. It is the day of nothingness. The very first Holy Saturday, Jesus has died, and all of the disciples have fled, and they are in hiding. And they are absolutely afraid and devastated that Jesus has died. There has not been an Easter morning, and they do not believe one is coming. All they know is their death and despair and their grief. And in her book, Shelley Rambo talks about the Holy Saturday of trauma. There's a traumatic event, and then there's this period of time that might be hours or days or weeks or months or years or a lifetime of sadness and grief and despair. And then there is Easter Sunday. Then there is resurrection. But you can't rush from Good Friday to Easter Sunday without Holy Saturday, without this period of pain. And in the Episcopal Church, you'll notice, if you've been to an Episcopal Church on Palm Sunday, which I'm sure all of you have, you'll notice that Palm Sunday is the day where Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem and people are throwing their cloaks and their palm branches and they're singing his praises. And it's a day of strictly celebration. But in the Episcopal Church, we often have the day of celebration and then you have whiplash because we move directly into the Good Friday narrative. And the reason for this is because people want to jump, and I do too, people want to jump from Palm Sunday of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem straight through to Easter Sunday. They don't want the hardship in between. And who can blame them? But the only way we can get to Easter Sunday is to go through the trauma. The resurrection doesn't happen without the death. So I hope that all of you are in an Easter Sunday type of place right now. I hope that there is only joy and happiness and rejoicing in your life. But if there is not, then I hope that you take comfort in knowing that the church stands with you in the Good Friday or Holy Saturday moments of your life. Because when the disciples went into hiding on Good Friday and Holy Saturday, they did not go alone. They hid together, and they grieved and they mourned together. Because our grief is not done in isolation. It is done in community. And while I wish that I could make everybody's life perfect, I wish that was a gift that was given to me in ordination. It is not. And I will not give you platitudes when you come to me with your pain. I will not tell you that it will all be okay. I will not tell you that it is all done for a specific purpose. I will not ease your suffering with platitudes. But I can assure you to sit with you in that suffering, and I can assure you that this church will sit with you in your suffering, and your church will love you. And when you can't see the resurrection coming, when you are only in darkness and despair, and you do not believe the good news of the resurrection will come, I assure you that we will believe it on your behalf. Because as much as we are Good Friday people, as much as we are people of trauma and suffering and sadness and despair, we are also resurrection people. We are a people where our trauma ends with a comma, not a period. And we move forward into the resurrection of Jesus. And there is good news, even on Good Friday. Amen.